Mary took a pound of costly perfume, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We have veered into a new gospel reality today, that of the evangelist John. The fourth gospel is a departure from the others, to say the least, in its depiction of Christ, its poetic hymns, its incarnational bent. And today, in this breathtaking passage, beauty and truth float through the verses as we peer into Jesus' life just days before he will be trialed and jailed and beaten and crucified. There are books upon books that compare this anointing scene to those in the other gospels. But this scene in John is somehow so real and accessible, like it's happening right here and right now. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem, and he knows what awaits him there. So like anyone would do, he seeks comfort in the closeness of his friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. To hear this passage now and knowing what we will read next week, knowing what we will face in Holy Week, it's like a sigh of relief to be here with Jesus in this familiar house with loving and supporting friends and good food and wine and pillows and conversation. Perhaps a wood fire is burning in the corner of the room, and the smell of grilled lamb and spices and fresh baked bread hang in the air. Jesus' worn sandals are stacked neatly at the door where he left them, and his bare feet stick out from his robe as he reclines in the safety of the familiar. As we watch this scene, we notice the conversation trail off as Mary enters the room with a jar, the kind that holds something expensive and precious that one might have in reserve for a major life event like a wedding or a funeral. She kneels at Jesus' feet and she opens the jar, and she takes his feet in her hands, and she pours the fragrant oil on them. Some of the excess spills onto the woven mat below. We smell this natural, warm, sweet, musky scent of spikenard, a perfume from far away. The evangelist never really tells us why. But we fill in all the blanks with our eyes and our hearts. Then she wipes his feet with her hair, an intimate, almost scandalous act, as women kept their hair covered in these times. If we were experiencing this just as text, we might have many questions. Why is she pouring oil on his feet? Anointing was usually done on the head. But we are more than reading this today. We are inside the story now. We are watching it. We are watching Jesus' face, a look of most heartfelt gratitude, and maybe just a hint of sadness. He'll soon be leaving his friends. We smell as the fragrance wafts up from the floor and fills the whole room and the whole house, mixing with the smoke and the meal and the sweat and the spices. Maybe Peter is looking on to see his Lord at ease for the first time in a really long while. This makes him profoundly happy, but maybe a bit nostalgic. Maybe John and James are giving into this intoxicating moment of peace with their feet up, breathing in the exotic fragrance. But then Judas enters this warm and comforting scene with an unsettling question. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Judas kind of takes the air right out of the room, and all the eyes fall on him as his face looks incredulous. Jesus, not to be ruffled, tells him to leave Mary alone. But this tension that Judas has brought in the house still hovers around us. Jesus speaks of his own death again. And this is not the story that we want to hear tonight. But we can't get this notion out of our heads. We remember, we've read the book and we know how it ends. We know that in just a few days, Judas will be the one to betray Christ and hand him over to be put to death by Roman authorities for 30 pieces of silver. In contrast to the fragrance of Mary's generous love and the anointing of Jesus that fills the house, Judas stinks of greed and betrayal. John's gospel does not tell us exactly how this scene plays out, but let us assume that Jesus' rebuke of Judas sends him scurrying out onto the porch while Mary continues to anoint Jesus' feet. Let's also assume that Mary, perhaps more than any of the other disciples, knows what she is doing. She is anointing the feet of a man that will soon be dead. And she knows all about losing a loved one because she just lost her brother. She and her sister Martha just anointed and wrapped his body and put him in a tomb. She wept and despaired, and she fell at Jesus' feet, and Jesus wept with her. Mary has experienced something that none of us have. She has heard and smelled and seen death reversed. She has witnessed her dead brother stumble out of a tomb by Jesus' command. She has seen the impossible. And perhaps she knows that Jesus' feet, now covered in precious oil, will soon be nailed to a cross, wrapped, and put into a tomb. Perhaps she knows that she is anointing him for his burial. But she also knows that death is not the end, because she also knows about resurrection. So on this night in her home, with her friends and a fire and a meal and her Lord, she will not be stopped by money or society's rules or the stares from guests or the admonitions of Judas. She will enact this prophetic symbol, this holy emblem of a disciple's life, this lavish gesture of generosity. Because she knows that these feet have and will continue to walk for justice. His hands have and will continue to heal. The fragrance of her love's actions, of her devotion, of her recognition of resurrection and glory travels thousands of miles and transcends years through time and space, and swirls past our nostrils today, and it carries throughout the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It clings to the robes of the disciples with Jesus. It wafts through the open windows and is carried by the wind and the Holy Spirit to places that we can only imagine and will never see. It travels with Jesus as he enters Jerusalem in triumph. It's noticed by the soldiers that take his robe. It surrounds the cross. It perfumes his shroud. It bursts from the tomb when the stone is rolled away. But that is a story to come. Today we sit with Mary's example in this space in between, in this calm before the storm, in this place of comfort and witness and healing and bravery and discipleship and world-changing reality. As we watch Mary take a pound of costly perfume, anoint Jesus' feet, and wipe them with her hair, the house is filled with the fragrance of perfume. Amen.